I was looking up some stuff about gravitational waves because we were talking about that video where the guy's talking about the pulse that's coming from the center of the galaxy.
Mm, yeah, that's pretty spooky. I mean,
the only thing I can think of would be a gravitational wave from the supermassive black hole.
I think that's what they talked about, possibly.
So I was looking at it, right, and what it would do, and the effects are very minuscule compared to their originating point.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, it's 26,000 light years away, give or take.
It's pretty far out there.
So even if it was earth-shattering shit at its point of origin, it would
die out.
Just ruffle our feathers a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I like to think that, you know, how the sun has, or we have a magnetic shield against the sun. The sun has some type of a, you know, magnetic shield for that sort of thing. Well, but I think the timing of it is extremely bad. I think that's what really has to do with it, because we're at the solar maximum.
Yeah, but it's a weak solar maximum. From that, what I was hearing from that strange observer video.
Yeah, and you know, I was looking at that. I think the one before that, like in 2000 or 99, or yeah, 99, 2001, 11 years ago, it was pretty weak compared to the ones prior to that too.
Yeah, like there's been a downward trend in the small cycle.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if we might be looking at a Carrington event, which is a large enough coronal mass ejection to knock out satellites for sure. The last one that happened was in the late 19th century, and it did things like power the telegraphs without having to plug them into anything.
I thought it also shorted them out, too.
Yeah, a couple people at the ends of the wires, like, there were fires and shocks.
Down in Texas, a couple days ago, as of now, there was like 50 or so, or dozens, I think is what they said, like telephone poles or power poles on fire, like matchsticks, just burning from
Weird.
The tops down.
Well, inducing more current than those wires could handle could definitely do that.
We do have a really shitty power grid now.
That's a good point. Our power grid is designed for, like, at best, 30 years ago. And, yeah, we've got more efficient electronics now, but still the draw, like... I've had 3 computers in this room before, and each one had at least a 500-watt power supply.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to the other bullshit that's floating around. That means that just my habitation of this house is responsible for 2 kilowatt hours.
Wow.
Per hour. 2 kilowatts per hour. Per day. So, 48 kilowatt hours.
Hmm. Wow.
So, the gravitational waves. Check this out. If you have just a field of points, and the gravitational wave passes through it, they just sort of stretch out and oscillate. But the area, like, if they were forming a perimeter, say, that perimeter would distort, but the area would remain the same. So, and another cool thing is our solar system is perpendicular to the ecliptic of the galaxy.
Right now, yeah.
It shouldn't change, at least not majorly. That means that if a gravitational wave passed through our solar system, it would come from towards either the north or south pole of the sun.
Whoa.
And it would just sort of burst through, and the orbits would be like, bloop, and go back. If the classic thought example for understanding space-time is to have marbles on a stretched-out sheet of cloth. And a gravitational wave would just be like if you waved that cloth and sent a ripple through it. Yeah, that could fuck shit up.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be really bad in that little situation that we just described with the marbles and the cloth.
Well, keep in mind that it's extremely weak. Okay. So maybe a better way to think about it would be like tapping on it with your finger.
Oh, okay.
So they just sort of... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And then they go back to where they were,
mm-hmm.
because their mass remains the same. But it would open up possibilities for strange things to happen, like Venus's rotation to change slightly. And in fact, when a gravitational wave is emitted, it's an expression of some amount of the angular momentum of the body emitting it, which tells us that it can be translated in a small way back to the motion of anything that's being hit by it. So it would change, like, speeds of rotation, or orbital radius, or... what else? Stuff that we could notice, and we'd make it through it, no problem.
Well, that's good to hear.
And actually, we talk about Uranus a lot, and its weird-ass moons. Looking at them... you could see, you could probably see a geometric evidence of the wave passing through our solar system.
Whoa.
Like, something would change there. And, I mean, that's just a plane that we can straight up look at.
And see.
With a telescope you could buy at Walmart.
I've been meaning to do that.
Well, I don't know. Good luck finding a telescope that can see the moons of Uranus for a
$30
amateur thing.
Yeah. But you could see Uranus, probably.
Yeah. And you could probably see, you know, a couple moons. Like, you can see the Galilean moons of Jupiter.
Cool.
And some of the better ones can see the rings of Saturn and shit. The other thing I read is that black holes have a temperature, which means they emit some amount of particles, so they can evaporate.
Well, you know, like, I've always thought black holes were crazy powerful in that they could hold light, you know, light can't emit or escape their pole or whatever. But we found out that light isn't the fastest thing in the world, so, or the galaxy, the universe. So, you know, maybe black holes really aren't as big of a deal as we're led to believe.
I'm thinking not. I'm thinking there's something that can be dealt with.
By man.
Well, fuck, I was thinking... one of the scenarios I read about was two black holes. If they come close to each other, they can kick each other. Or, well, one can get kicked. One of them stops, typically. And if it's kicked hard enough, which it can be up to something like 4,000 kilometers per second, It will just leave the galaxy, and it still has a gravitational pull, so it'll take some stars with it, like a small cluster of stars potentially, and it would look like a quasar, a very small signal that is as powerful as a galaxy. But
oh my god.
Anyway.
Close.
Oh, shit. So we take...
Go ahead.
No! Fuck. So we take our probe that can manipulate the Higgs field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we set it up next to a black hole that gets kicked. And then we just let it ride with the black hole and whatever it takes out of the galaxy. And it'll cover, like, 20-odd, well, maybe a lot more, but at least 20 light years per Earth year. So you could have a probe probing the intergalactic void.
Well, that would be interesting.
Forget Interstellar, son.
That's shit. That's
and then when you're ready to get it back, it just... drops its Higgs field thing again, all of a sudden the black hole doesn't affect it at all, and it just leaves it behind.
Nice.
I just punched my microphone. And then it warps back to Earth or whatever.
And that's how you play the game.
Yeah.
Oh, interstellar travel and all that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know why we're wasting time flipping burgers and shit.
It's because we didn't follow Nikola Tesla close enough.
True.
I think he knew how to travel between the stars. He just couldn't express it to the people.
I think he also kind of thought in a Star Trek kind of way, way before that was even a conception.
Dude was a fucking genius among geniuses.
There's a thing, like, whenever I see Chief O'Brien working on something and they pull something out, it makes me think, like, it's like everything's like a component, like the way we have resistors and capacitors and shit. Mm-hmm. So did they never invent digital or digital to analog converters, or do they just prefer to do it all old school, like some weird ass Fender amplifier?
I think, you know, nostalgia for the Star Trek people, you know, of the, what is it?
It does make a much more interesting prop too.
Yeah, but we can relate to it there.
The 30th anniversary? You're saying 30-something.
Oh, we're in the 20th century, aren't they? In, like, the 30th century. No, they're in the
24. They're in 24 for most of them.
Yeah, for most of
them. And the reason I brought up Star Trek in the first place is occasionally Chief O'Brien or Geordi or something will make a reference to fixing the sewer system, the waste extraction system. Yeah. So, you know, they're doing some pretty grand things, but they also do the humble jobs, too. Nobody's the fucking janitor.
Yeah, even the chief engineer cleans up shit.
Yeah. Although, I wonder if it's, like, vaporized or something. Probably feeds into the replicator system somehow.
Recycle.
Hey, it's fusion, man. There's no germs.
Yeah, it's cool.
Recycled sandwiches.
Yeah. You didn't properly digest that. Let us take some of that back.
I thought there's a couple of times when they actually show the waste extractor, and it's just like a toilet with, you know, their titanium plating on it or whatever, but
probably one of those touchpads too.
Why wouldn't it be like a transporter? And then people's buttholes would atrophy.
Or maybe they use the transporter just to take it out, and then they don't have to worry about actually pooping.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah. So
it would just like
little muscle would just
fuse clothes eventually. Yeah. After a few generations.
The next generation.
The next generation of humans. Life without buttholes.
What an odd future we have created.
Why don't they use the transporter to do medical stuff either? Like birthing a baby. You know, screw C-sections. Just... Done.
O'Brien would have Beverly Crusher's job.
How do you know he doesn't?
That's a good point.
He's awful chummy with Dr. Bashir. So, have you heard any new stuff to bring to my attention since last time?
The Louisiana sinkhole continues to grow older or get bigger. Last update I had, it was like 6 football fields big and like continuing to grow towards the gas storages rather than towards the neighborhoods, which I'm not quite sure which would be worse. They're supposed to be like a bunch of like dynamite or TNT outside of one of, like, the bases, just sort of hanging out on the ground outside of, like, some military base down close by it. I heard that the royal bloodline is getting pretty all over the place with its people in the governments and things like that.
Oh, like there's a sort of hidden nobility in America?
Kind of like the, I guess people would call them like the New World Order or things like that. But it's like the Rockefeller sort of...
Yeah, it's all financially motivated, but it's still limited to a small number of families that have some history.
Yeah.
Going back to, like, westward expansion or...
Yeah, dude, way back in England.
Even revolutionary time. The sinkhole stuff, that's our fault, right?
Probably. I like to think, well, I speculate that, you know, with the BP oil spill down there, it's just spewing out all kinds of amounts of oil, like, way faster than we could have, like, drilled out and pumped out and whatever. So that displacement of all the crude oil underneath, it's just sort of dropping down the landmass, because the ground is trying to equalize itself. It's just how we do here with gravity.
Plus the incoming electromagnetic event that's causing all the earthquakes.
Yeah.
That's like shaking the table and increasing the rate of collapse.
That and the sinkhole, or the oil, I think the oil was kind of underneath one of the salt domes that's down there in Louisiana, because the
yeah, isn't that how it forms? The crude is underneath those?
Possibly. I'm not quite sure where crude usually is, but I know salt domes are very common down there in the coast and whatnot, coastal areas. But I think the crude was underneath it, and as it's displacing, it's pulling down the salt dome. And then on top of the salt dome is where the sinkhole is. And the water that's all over Louisiana, because it's a big swamp, and just being that close to sea level, is the water's going down into the bottom of the sinkhole, connecting with the salt, washing away the salt, and making it that much worse.
Mm.
So it's like the oil's coming out, the water's going under the salt, and the salt dome's like...
And dissolving it.
Yeah. There was a sinkhole in Louisiana back in 1980 where an oil rig poked a hole in a salt mining operation, and it fucking drained this lake for like 2 days and caused the biggest waterfall.
No!
Ah, quick on the draw that time. So... It drained a lake for 2 days and caused the biggest waterfall in Louisiana, which was like 140 feet.
Whoa.
But, yeah, usually if you Google or YouTube Louisiana sinkhole, you'll find videos to both of them nowadays. There's a YouTube channel, it's the Idaho Picker, or I think it's just Idaho Picker, one word, and he does a lot of stuff on the sinkhole. He's pretty fucking thorough.
Man. Well, I know, like, a salt mine, those are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Those are extensive structures, and that's after you've been mining tons of salt out of them.
Yeah. Well, those salt domes, they were talking, the distance down that this is being affected is, like, the height of 2 Empire State Buildings.
Shit.
Then that's just height. The dome itself is supposed to be like 2 miles. Or something crazy.
Fuck, that makes you think. Hell, like, have you played Portal or Portal 2?
I haven't.
There's a huge underground complex, and it's revealed in the second one that it's all set in a salt mine that a industrialist bought. That's the perfect place.
Here's something else about that new one. They did mine the salt, you know, but they used a different tactic. They shoot water into it, dissolve some of the salt, and then suck it back out and do it over and over. So there's just little pocket of air. And then they pumped a bunch of gas, like natural gas, and just gases. Butane. There's a lot of butane down there.
They pumped stuff it. They want to store?
Yeah, they're trying to store it, and they store it underground. But they stored it in these salt domes. And now the salt domes are collapsing.
Yeah. And that stuff is going to be displaced by chunks of rock and salt and earth and water. Or, oh, God, what if a bunch of water gets in there, dissolves a bunch of some poisonous hydrocarbon, and then gets back out into the ocean? And we fucked it up bad enough yet?
The poor Gulf.
Or just the Louisiana local ecosystem. That's pretty big and unique.
If it gets into the air, it could cause a huge explosion to the point where it would actually set the other ones off.
I bet even before it causes an explosion, it would start poisoning people. I mean, those fuels are inhalants.
I think the area, the little town next to it has actually been evacuated.
Yeah. If you start hearing about people that are tripping balls, delusional.
Yeah. Eating faces.
Well, maybe not, but hey, that was in Florida, and Florida is kind of similar to Louisiana.
It's pretty close.
Elevation, I'm sure it's got some offshore stuff. I know it's got salt domes. I've seen that on Google Earth.
Yeah. So, this crazy sinkhole happens to be right by the Madrid Fault Line, or the New Madrid Fault Line. It's the one that runs up and down, like, the center of the states.
The Continental Divide?
Doesn't that go through the oceans?
The Continental Divide is the Rockies, or is marked by the Rockies.
It's, like, two or three states, depending on where you do it, over to the right. Like, it starts in Louisiana and kind of goes up towards the Great Lakes. Kind of like where the Mississippi is, I think. I don't know, I'm not very good with mappage.
The New Madrid Seismic Zone?
I think that's it.
Southern and Midwestern United States, stretching to the southwest from New Madrid, Missouri.
So, we have ground being displaced. And then we have all that explosive material right there in Louisiana.
Not a wise solution.
Yeah.
See, we already have multiple hollowed-out mountains serving as military facilities. Why wouldn't you use something like that as a storage facility?
But then the military has to, you know, do something else.
There's other mountains.
Yeah.
I mean, then you've got a holding tank that's got all the advantages that you're looking for in the salt dome, plus is thousands of feet above sea level. It'll still be stored there when we're water world.
Yeah.
Not that that could happen. I think the sea level only goes up 10-15 feet if we melt all the ice.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, it won't raise too terribly much, but a lot of places that would have, like coastal areas, that would affect a lot.
Oh yeah, they'd be dead.
But
underwater. Maybe they'll be mermaids.
I'm pretty sure we're okay up here in Spokane. Like, we got the mountains to block us and stuff. But,
we should be more worried about, the Ice Age and another Lake Missoula flood.
Yeah. I'm more worried about volcanoes, because, like, I can always move towards the equator, wherever an equator may be, if something crazy does happen.
True. I saw Dante's Peak.
Yeah, it was here in Washington, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
Or Idaho, maybe? I don't know.
It was somewhere close.
It was shot in Wallace, I think. Wallace, Idaho. Because they have silver mines and stuff.
Mm.
So there's all that kind of location already built.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, a volcano would be probably way more difficult to escape. Even if it was a relatively minor one, like if Mount Rainier erupted.
I think Mount Rainier is actually it's Mount Hood that's the least, or the most dormant mountain, or active volcano.
Yeah, that's in Oregon, right?
No, I think that's here in Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mount Hood. But Mount Rainier, I'm not sure where.
Definitely one of the ski ones.
Yeah, I think Rainier's here in Washington, too.
Yeah, Rainier is.
I know there's 6 active volcanoes in Washington.
Is St. Helens one of them?
Yeah. I know there's been a lot of seismic activity in Yellowstone, and I know there's a lot of seismic activity there normally, but I would consider anything below a 1.0 normal activity in Yellowstone, and there's been ones and twos, and I think it's gone all the way up to 2.5, and honestly that scares me.
Yeah, considering it's just sort of a basin of geologic hotspot.
Well, it's the biggest supervolcano in the world. The entire park is basically in the mouth of the volcano, the caldera.
Yeah, but there's an incredible amount of substance on top of that, several lakes worth of water.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
If it exploded, they would see the glow of it in China.
I think it's either 10 or... I'm just going to say 10,000 times the amount of shit put into the air by Mount St. Helens would be equal to Yellowstone.
Yeah.
It would consume the atmosphere and blot it out.
Forget agriculture for a few years.
Yeah, you'd have to go underground.
Well, we need to buy a salt mine and grow a shitload of mushrooms in it, and we'll just... turn into those weird translucent skin people from beneath the Planet of the Apes. We can worship a giant nuclear bomb. I'd sign up for that. You blew it up!
Let's see. There was a sinkhole in Clark County. Not too long ago. I think it might have been last week, which is here in Washington.
I think I read about that one.
There was, about the same time as Hurricane Sandy, there was a real big series of earthquakes right off the coast of Canada, over here on the west coast.
Off the coast? Yeah, okay. In the subduction zone.
Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to go... It goes clockwise. Apparently, there's major earthquakes there, and then it goes down to the down by Chile, and then it goes over by the Indonesia, and then up to Japan, and then up to Alaska. And it kind of goes in this weird counterclockwise.
I wonder how that compares to the layout of the magnetic field, or if you mapped it against auroras. I'm convinced that it's electromagnetically driven for the most part. Yeah, there'll be the occasional earthquake where just pressure builds and it pops. Mm-hmm. But that seems far more likely to be a volcanic event, or even if it's a minor one.
Yeah.
There's also been a whole lot of earthquakes on Mars recently.
I heard about it on the moon, even.
Earthquakes on the moon?
Yeah. Well, moonquakes and Marsquakes.
Shit, yeah.
It's not really an earthquake.
Seismic activity.
Yeah, seismic activity. I heard, this is kind of interesting, that, every so often on planet Earth, there's, an evolutionary jump. Every 300,000 years. Something weird like that. There's an evolutionary jump where a bunch of species die off, but a bunch of new ones come in, and we're about there.
Yeah, we're close.
So, and then that there's also people that talk about this gravitational wave as a great awakening for us. It might do something to us as humans to expand our mind, or just wake us up to all the bullshit around us.
Well,
yeah, it's
that would be awesome if I had a nice little induced LSD trip.
Well,
I mean, if it triggers an electromagnetic event, there could easily be a resonance in our brain. I mean, we're an electrical operating... What? I don't even know what I'm saying.
We're
electronic.
Machine. Yeah, yeah. But what do you think us as a human being would be capable of if we used more than 10% of our brain? I mean,
I've heard that is sort of a shitty way to think about it, because it's not that we only use 10%, it's that we process things in a very localized fashion in our brain. So, like, there's a certain part of the brain that lights up when you read something, a certain part of the brain that lights up when you have a sexual reaction, or you're hungry, or you hear something frightening, or... One weird thing about that is blind people, when they read Braille, the part of their brain lights up that lights up when we read text with our eyes.
Weird.
So you can actually, like, reconfigure yourself if you need to.
Seeing with your fingers. Interesting.
So then how do you do that with your ears?
See with your ears?
Read with your ears.
Well, there's a kid that's, like, blind. And, like, he makes this little clicky noise, kind of like a bat.
Oh,
and
weird.
He hears it. And
does,
like,
sonar?
Yeah, but apparently, like, he uses his mind's eye. And the kid, I'm like 90% sure they had him playing a video game with his friend and kicking his friend's ass with the video game. And this kid's blind. And he's just...
But if you're looking at a screen with it, shouldn't it look flat to you and just...
He apparently, you know, like, when he was a kid, he would describe to his mom images that he'd see. But he was blind, you know, like, just using mental images.
Using the force?
Yeah. And his mom encouraged that sort of thing. And I think a lot of people nowadays...
Was her name Shmi?
No. You can look it up. Like, blind kid sees... like, a lot of people discourage gifts, even, you know, things like that. You know, if this kid could see, he probably wouldn't have been able to do this.
Have you heard of the kids that, like, compose symphonies and learn songs and, like, see, they just talk about how they hear music in their head, and it's almost cathartic for them to write it out? The weird thing is, they tend to die young.
So wasn't Mozart deaf?
Beethoven
was deaf.
Mozart was a child prodigy, though.
Yeah.
Although, I've heard him compared to more like a pop star.
Mozart, or Beethoven?
Mozart,
yeah.
Like, he figured out how to please his audience and did it tons and tons of... Justin Bieber, if you will.
Psy.
Psy from Gangnam Style?
No, this is just this emotional psy.
Alright, let's check out this kid. That's an old
thing.
This
week's People magazine profiles a California teenager who does some remarkable things, despite his disability. This is something you just might have to see to believe. CBS News correspondent John Blackstone reports.
In a pillow fight, 14-year-old Ben Underwood can deliver a dead-on shot. When a video game is going, his fingers fly. On his skates, he's fearless. For most teenagers, it's nothing remarkable.
Car.
I got a car.
But Ben Underwood is blind. Totally blind. Hear the clicks? That's how he finds his way around. To walk down the street with Ben is to be amazed at what he can see with his ears.
Well, there's a fire hydrant on the side and a car on this side. Wait, is that... No, that's a trash can or... That, hold on, let me see. That's a trash can? Yeah, that's a trash can.
Ben
barefoot.
Was just 2 years old when cancer claimed his eyes. Both were surgically removed.
And he woke up from that circuit and said, "Mom, I can't see anymore. I can't see anymore." And I said, "You can't use your eyes, but you got your nose and your ears and your mouth."
From that day on, Ben has used his hearing, his touch, his sense of smell to conquer a world of darkness. It's sometimes hard to believe how good Ben is. Just watch the way he deftly steps around a fallen trash can.
I don't know how you do that.
Somehow, Ben has mastered echolocation. It's the same way dolphins get around, bouncing sound waves to figure out where they are. On a trip to SeaWorld a few weeks ago, Ben found that he and the dolphins shared an amazing talent.
All right, Eddie.
Out of the water, it becomes easy to forget that Ben is blind.
That was luck.
How else to justify my pleasure when I put a couple of goals past him?
You thought you were so good.
I am good.
He's as good as Master Poe.
Ben beat me 5-2. Playing video games with his brother Isaiah in the assault of noise, Ben can figure out everything that's happening just by listening. How can you even separate the sound?
Because they got different voices.
Nobody is going to tell him that there is an impossibility for him, because there are none.
This mom ought to be teaching a course on, you know, how do you raise a kid who can't see well.
Dr. James Rubin says Aquanetta has done exactly the right thing with Ben, never being overprotective, never putting limits on him.
You know, I think the real story here is not his talents, but his attitude. And I think attitude is what it's really about.
We have to give our kids confidence. We give them pride. Empower him with who he is and be proud of who you are, no matter what.
You can see where Ben gets his extraordinary self-confidence.
There's nothing that you can do. I can't do better. And that's the attitude. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to give him.
Watching him in action, it seems clear that Ben really can't do anything. For The Early Show, John Blackstone, CBS News, Sacramento.
Damn.
Isn't that cool?
And he has no eyes. Yeah. Not just blind eyes, no eyes. That's fucking crazy. Sort of like mythical shit.
Mm-hmm. There's a kid in I think it was China or maybe South Korea that can actually see in the dark. Like, he can read in the blackness.
Weird.
His eyes are like cat eyes.
China seems to have a good environment for making new kinds of people. Like, they have a weird region that's associated with everything being albino. I think I mentioned it a long time ago. Or I mentioned it in the Bigfoot one, but you can't hear shit in that episode.
They have the pink dolphins, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, is that kind of albino thing?
I think it has to do with the fresh water coming into the salt water and affecting their skin tone that way.
There's those guys in South America, right? Swim up the Amazon. Freshwater dolphin.
I think so, yeah. But what about all the weird animal deaths that are going on? Like, constantly.
I hear those associated with alien abductions and stuff mostly. Like, are you talking about like a cow killing or like the birds falling out of the sky?
Birds falling out of the sky, you know, whales and dolphins and fish and starfish and things beaching. I mean, I know the oceans are becoming acidic more and more rapidly every day, but I don't know, it's just kind of crazy. All the deer up in, I think it was Alaska. It was, I think, at the beginning, or maybe in July of this year.
I think the bird thing is related to the supposedly incoming electromagnetic event.
Well, you know, they have that magnetism that makes them go south for winter or whatever they do.
They have, like, a compass. They can feel the direction. And we know that they have, like, traditional places that they're shown by the previous generation when they migrate.
Yeah.
And so they are flying using their brain compass and then never running into the place that they're supposed to find, so they're looking around for it, doing the best they can based on their feeling, getting exhausted, falling out of the sky.
Yeah, that,
the whale thing might be a similar cause.
I know that one of the bird incidences happened in, like, the very first day of the year in 2010, and then it happened in the same place the very first day of 2011. Or, it was 2011, 2012, and it might happen again on 2013. That's better.
In early January?
Yeah, it was January 1st.
So it's some...
like, the day.
Common migration habit.
Yeah, and it started in 2011. It happened again in 2012. And we'll see if there's anything left for 2013.
There has been some polar wandering that is little bit more than normal.
So in that video with the suspicious observer made, like, you can see it do its wander, and then it pretty much just takes off to the right.
Yeah, the most recent data.
Yeah.
And that's like year for year going back to 18 something.
It's a long ass time.
And that's the other thing, like the Carrington event that I think might happen. The last one was in the 19th century. We didn't have a solar observatory probe that took pictures of the sun every day at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what if the warning signs were there and nobody noticed.
Yeah, well, we definitely have some weird events going on now.
We talk about, like, mini ice ages or, like, more extreme weather shifts. Like, go back another century... you're at Valley Forge. An apparent supposed mini ice age.
Yeah. You know,
that's why all of Washington's men froze their toes off. And then that is supposed to happen every few hundred years. And
here we are. Weather
is getting a lot more extreme.
Well,
like Hurricane Sandy, that was
nuts.
Pretty brutal.
The biggest hurricane we've ever seen.
In New York, of all places.
Yeah, like, very, very high.
If it was Miami, I'd be like, okay, yeah.
I can feel that. But
that's a bad one, but
it's
okay.
Very, very far north, which is very uncommon.
It seems like there's a lot more of north-south activity with the weather. Like, there's Arctic air being drawn down in big places.
We're in that right now.
Yeah, we're getting a blast of it, right? And Europe is supposed to get a really bad winter.
Well, apparently the pole is drifting towards Europe or Russia.
I'm trying to think of that map. It looked like the left side of the globe was North America, Canada, Greenland. And it was drifting towards the right, so that'd be Russia, Europe.
But that
means Russia mostly.
The pole's drifting away from us, but what about the South Pole coming up towards us?
Yeah, I haven't seen much on the South Pole.
Me neither. I wonder what's going on down there.
And shit, Antarctica, you can find a woolly mammoth that has flowers in its belly.
So it froze.
Pretty fast. I'm sure elephants or elephant type animals probably digest pretty slowly, right? Like,
well,
kind of like cows.
I'm sure they do it real slow.
It could have been a matter of weeks that the weather changed to the point where it died of exposure.
Still, that's really, really quick.
And take into account that this is a mammal, so it's not like it would have to be an extremely cold winter. It would just have to last a while.
And they're still frozen.
Yeah, and I mean, they get deep frozen because it continues to get worse way after they've died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, I'm down to live on Antarctica if it shifts up, if the extreme pole shift scenario that I saw was talking about Montana being more of an equatorial region.
Yeah, like Alaska, Washington.
Yeah, so that would put Antarctica at least, like, temperate, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go live there. Go find some weird alien pyramid with a bunch of predator weapons in it. It's magnificent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
If it wasn't for Jeff Goldblum's mantra, I might be completely freaked out.
Yeah.
If it did get harsh, or if you were talking about how there's a seeming, like a lot of species die out and then a big leap takes place. Mm-hmm. If that happens, we're going to start seeing new animals.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Well, think of it like this. In the entire time the Earth has been around, what's going on right now on Earth is like, or everything. We see 0.01% of what has been on Earth.
Yeah, true.
Like, we... Oh, it's...
We're also fairly pessimistic in that we always think that it'll definitely kill us. Like, people were afraid to go faster than 35 miles per hour when trains were new technology because they thought it would kill you.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of myths that, and myths are supposedly rooted in history, of heinous calamities.
Pompeii. Mount Vesuvius.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Fuck that one. See... You might be onto something about volcanoes.
Well, now they say, or I think it's in the Bible or some other religious book, the world, you know, it's been destroyed by fire, it's been destroyed by water, it's been destroyed by earthquakes.
So next is air, right?
I think it's probably been destroyed by air. I don't know how. Maybe big windstorms, but the next
electromagnetic shifts just blasting the shit out of our atmosphere until it's gone.
I was kind of thinking that solar winds would be the thing that wakes us up. Like, what if our awakening is having to go back to the Dark Ages? What if we had invested in Nikola Tesla's electricity waves? If this would even be a problem? I doubt it would be.
Because we'd be magnetomancers?
Yeah, we'd already have, you know, we'd like, oh, well, this is coming, and we totally understand it, because we use it every single day.
So, the sun's going to put out a huge amount of energy, and we've made this giant copper coil.
To catch it. Speaking of survival, I don't know if we touched on it, but, like, extra blankets and things.
Oh, yeah.
To keep warm if you need it, because...
You really got to know where your towel is.
Yeah. Don't forget your towel.
Mine's right over there.
Yeah.
Ford Prefect would be proud of me.
And
seriously, the towel might be the most useful item in the universe. You can warm yourself with it, dry yourself with it, use it as a rope to escape.
Always remember, don't panic.
Yeah, don't panic.
Don't panic and never forget your towel.
I like to think that Douglas Adams is right when he describes traveling through hyperspace like being drunk. Arthur Dent says, "What's wrong with being drunk? Ask a glass of water." I'm running out of things. In conclusion, no.
It's real! It's a fake! Don't you understand? It is real! It's a fake! It's real!
So in this scenario, I guess you're Captain Sisko. It's real! And I'm the Romulan guy.
Yeah.
Being skeptical.
You know, I don't think that the world's gonna be destroyed like a lot of people do, coming up here in like a week. You know, if it was, I like to think that we'd be a little bit more turbulent. I mean, I know things are getting crazy, but I think it's a little too calm to say that the world's gonna be destroyed.
No. It's happened before, and things continue to happen.
I think it's either going to be the people waking up and realizing how much bullshit's in the world, or it will be, you know, we have no more power because of a mass ejection, and we will be thrown back to the Dark Ages sometime soon.
The thing about that also is that we have a bunch of ferrous metal electrical conduits being held up by pieces of wood
yeah.
and ceramic. And Tesla was like, hey, let's make one big device in the middle of a field somewhere, and you just turn this knob in your house, and you got power.
And Tesla's towers, they went down into the ground like 50 feet. They were well grounded.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing.
They had to be.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to hurt us, because nothing that we have is grounded. It's all flying around in the air.
Yeah. Each house has a ground, but I don't think that goes down nearly as far as some of his towers.
Yeah.
Point is, I guess, like, get some manuals together. Get, you know, keep some plans printed out in hard copy for basic technologies that you like and enjoy.
Yeah.
And you might not be able to get back to it in your lifetime if there's a real apocalyptic.
Hopefully a couple generations down.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a couple generations that are, you know, curious, and we haven't raised them to be total idiots, like they're just, the only thing that lives is like the almost ready fetuses, and they kind of like the they give birth right as everyone dies, and then like they grow up as, you know, feral children.
Oh shit. There was some eccentric that wanted to make a bunch of like shrines to humanity, but they were like information caches, like they contained the printout of the human genome and a bunch of medical texts, and like, here's how you fix yourself. Now don't screw it up.
Don't invest.
Just imagine
in pharmaceuticals.
Some weird ass Mowgli stumbling into that, falling through some clay tile in the jungle, and now you're in front of Toltec.
The
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Was that Mike O'Malley?
I don't know.
It wasn't Mark Summers, so might not have been good enough.
That's too bad.
That's
oh,
why.
Oh no! I think it was Mark Summers.
Not on Legends of the Hidden Temple. He's Double Dare.
Yeah, I know, but he had another show for. Oh no! It was like.
What would you do?
I think it was that, yeah.
What would you do?
Man,
shit is hardwired into my brain forever.
I've escaped the TV. Like, I don't have that kind of influence anymore.
I have only been watching television shows on my computer, and it is so much better. Mm-hmm. I can't even go back to cable TV. Like, it's like it has some kind of weird hum, like the They Live signal or something.
Yeah. And the commercials are always louder than the actual program, which is really fucking irritating.
That is supposed to be against FCC regulations.
It's tough. Oh, they're doing a bad fucking job.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to prove it, though. Like,
oh, here's something cool. The TSA has caught zero terrorists.
It's working!
Yeah. You know what, $2 billion a year and we've gotten zero terrorists.
I don't understand how we even have a terrorist. I've never been scared of those people. And if you are, you're a fucking pussy.
Yeah. Seriously, like, don't give them that
shit?
Kind of power.
Oh, somebody wants to kill me? Gee, get in line.
Yeah. Fuck you too.
Guess what? Everybody from a country that speaks a different language than you, there's probably a sizable portion of their population that wouldn't care if you lived or died ever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the electromagnetic awakening will help change that.
Yeah, you know. Smiley face.
Ding.
Proceed.
No, not that one.
I'll buy that for a dollar!
There we go. But feel free to proceed, too. I don't care.
What did we just talk about, like, just a second ago?
Talking about cable, They Live. Or you mean before that?
Just after that. Like, just, like,
oh, God, now you're confusing me.
Just a few sentences ago. Oh, well.
Terrorism,
yeah.
And the TSA has caught nobody.
Nobody.
But has taken plenty of naked pictures and touched your young child's genital regions.
Probably stolen some of your stuff. Not letting you take in water onto the plane that you bought. Made you dump out your shampoo that you bought for your trip. And then, I lost my thought again. Damn.
I ain't getting on no plane, Hannibal. We'll take a boat. Take a nice slow boat.
Here's another tidbit. More people have died avoiding the TSA on road trips than actually died in 9/11.
Well, cars are dangerous.
Yeah, but they're avoiding the TSA going on a road trip instead of flying, and they ended up dying.
I'd rather die due to negligent operation of vehicle than put up with their shit. How about that shit?
I like that. I'm right there with you. You know, I've never been in a car accident while I've been driving. I like to think I'm a fairly good driver. So I ain't worried.
Yeah, I think I've only hit a trash can, and that was sort of, I was backing out of the driveway and like pinched it between the door and the garage.
And the garbage truck probably put it back weird.
Well, we're at about an hour. You want to pick a song?
Yeah. I don't know what song. Any ideas?
Well, mentioning They Live got me thinking about that. And there's some good songs in that shit. So how about something from there?
Sure. You pick. Everyone should check out the Hyper Report and Suspicious Observers on the YouTube channels. They are very good information, alternative news and whatnot. I don't think we've mentioned them in the actual podcast here, just in the pilots. But they're very handy. They are almost daily. And, check them out.
Don't forget, you can email us at cryptodome@4040ad.com.
For the record, I'm Sam.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Chris. So, yeah, those are which voices belong to who.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just because I listened to this on my phone, but we sound remarkably similar as far as my phone's concerned.
Yeah. I think I've gotten confused a couple of times listening.
Whoops.
There is a signal broadcast every second of every day through our television sets. Even when the set is turned off, look around the environment we live in. Carbon dioxide, fluorocarbons, and methane have increased since 1958. Earth is being acclimatized. They are turning our atmosphere into their atmosphere. We are like a natural resource to them. Deplete the planet, move on to another. They want benign indifference. They want us drugged. We could be pets. We could be food. But all we really are is livestock.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. They have created a repressive society, and we are their unwitting accomplices. Their intention to rule rests with the annihilation of consciousness. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. Please understand, they are safe as long as they are not discovered. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.